Mr. McInerney?
Yes, ma'am.
I don't know if I pronounced your name correctly, so could you please tell us the correct pronunciation of your name and your ABC number?
Timothy McInerney, DOC number 80366.
Okay, thank you, sir, because I've been pretty close on your name now.
Yes, ma'am.
All right, so we're here today for, you're currently on general parole, correct, sir, 412A parole?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, and we're here to consider absolute discharge. You've applied for that, and your application is in our hands, and we received a packet of information from that our office assembled on you as well. So we don't do absolute discharge hearings very often, sir, but we will talk just briefly about the circumstances and the crime, and then we want to hear more about kind of what you've been doing since you've been on parole. But I'll start just with a very, very brief summary. You're 52 now, are you, sir?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And your crime was a murder in the first degree, but it looks like you had previously, or maybe at that same time, there was a convictions for burglary, tools, possession, and theft. And it looks like one of those expired and the other one you were actually paroled to a consecutive sentence?
That is correct, yes.
Okay, on the burglary tools, it looks like. Okay, we can't always trust a computer printout, but it's not always clear. And it looks like you were about 23 years old when you committed these crimes, sir, is that correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And you were convicted by jury trial and sentenced in 1990, and you did appeal your conviction, and it was upheld, it looks like. You had pretty minimal criminal history, so it looks like there might have been a previous burglary, or maybe it's even the same one. I'm not sure if there was a previous one. And your prison, your behavior while you were in prison was very good as well. You see many people with many, many more, much more discipline than you had. It looks like you only had three major tickets your whole time that you were in there. So we thank you for that, and we're happy for your good behavior. And it looks like you were granted home arrest in April of 2017, is that correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, and when were you actually released? I know that there's a little bit of time, and I can be looking it up too here. Looks like May 10th you were actually released?
Yes, May 10th.
May 10th, okay. So it looks like actually 1 month to the day that you were actually released. And then you went on to general parole in December of 17, is that correct, sir?
That is correct.
Okay, all right. I don't remember, did you come before us here in Arizona, or did we do your hearing by telephone that day?
I was there in Arizona at that time.
You were here, okay.
I'm just before the board.
Trying to remember you, because we were all here, and by the way, I should introduce the board members who are here today. You might remember us, you've been in the boardroom, so you know where we are. We have the Honorable Leah Quinones, the Honorable David Neal, the Honorable Dr. C.T. White, who's our board chairman, and my name's Gail Rittenhouse. So we'll be the board members conducting hearing today. Let's just talk then about a little bit about the crime, sir, just to remind us what happened that day. To remind us what happened.
It was involved around a drug deal. Myself and the victim, who was Kirsta Anvil, had a altercation, and unfortunately I was messed up and I shot her twice with a 12-gauge shotgun.
Okay. And so it was, were you two selling drugs together, or one of you buying from the other, or what happened?
We both did both of those things together.
Okay. And you were using meth at the time, was that?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And when's the last time you used meth, Mr. McAnally?
Way back in the 90s.
Okay, way back. So you can't even remember when. That's how long it's been.
It's been a long time. I gave my grandmother my word that I was done and straightened out.
Well, good for you. That's a good thing. You know, it is a good idea to give your word to somebody like that, because that kind of keeps you honest on that. So, okay, so now, where are you now? I mean, we have a packet from you, but what's your life like now?
What my address is?
Yeah, or where are you and what's going on in your life? Tell us about what your day-to-day life is like, sir.
I'm in Portland, Tennessee. It's a little town about 60 miles north of Nashville.
Okay.
Right on the Kentucky border. I work at Wholesale Supply Group as a counter sales for electrical and HVAC and plumbing supplies to the local contractors.
Okay.
I've been involved with a lot of the contractors, my own employer, Mr. Bell, who I sent a letter in.
Yes.
I help him out. He's an elder gentleman. He's 71 years of age. And so I help him out quite often. And I spend time with a lot of the contractors here in town, or my parents who are up here, and my brother who's down in Hendersonville, which is about 20 miles outside of Nashville.
So you get to see your brother often then?
I see my brother about every 2 weeks.
Oh, that's often. More often than I see my brother, so that's good.
Yeah.
So, okay, so you, and the packet that I read that we received indicates that you were interested in moving up in the company, and or you were training for management, or?
Yes, ma'am. Mr. Bell is 71 years old. He's fought cancer and everything else, and he's decided it's time for him to retire. And because of the way I interact with all the contractors and my knowledge of the products that they sell, the opportunity has come for me to become the store manager.
Oh.
And that was, you know, kind of surprising to me because I've always worked in the fields. But I kind of like the job.
And you like the management? Okay.
Pardon?
You like doing the management duties then? It's a little different.
Yeah, I actually do. I get to help a lot of the contractors figure out the problems that they're having on the job site, what products will work best for them in the condition that they're in, and get it in here so that they can get their project completed.
Had you been an electrician or something that would give you that knowledge, or?
I was a union electrician, yes, ma'am.
Okay, so you had the knowledge to, yeah.
And then perfect. When I was on Homer West, I took a HVAC certification course to be a technician.
Okay, and so that business does that kind of work too?
Yes, it does.
A little bit electrical, a little bit HVAC. Okay. All right. So what else is going on in your life? Do you have are you involved in a relationship, or do you go to church? What else do you do?
Believe it or not, actually down the street is a creek bed, and I get to do a lot of fishing.
I believe that. It's probably gorgeous there. Okay.
Yeah.
So what do you do in the community? Do you?
We fish. The people that live around us, we have group barbecues. And I go to their son's baseball games and pretty much help with my family and the neighbors around us. And whenever one of the contractors has a problem on the weekend, I go and help with them.
Oh, okay. How big is the town? Do you know? Just estimate how many people live there?
About 8,500.
Oh, so we're talking a real small town.
Yes, it's smaller than Cave Creek and Carefree, north of Phoenix.
Okay, gotcha. All right.
It'd actually be more like how Payson was back in the 70s.
Back in the day, okay. So now, what were you doing in Arizona? You weren't from here, you were from there, right?
No, I was born and raised in Arizona.
Oh, you were?
My parents had moved out here and retired.
Okay.
And I came out here to help them.
Okay, so you're from here, but you have gone back there. I got it. Okay. All right, well, I'm going to see if my fellow board members have questions for you. Any questions for Mr. McEnally at this point?
Sir, my name is C.T. Wright, just a quick question. Aside from you taking on the position as manager of the operation, what other reason do you want to get absolute discharge, sir? Is there any other reason?
Well, for myself personally?
Yes, sir.
To me, it would be completion of showing that I have done what's needed or expected of me as an individual to earn that right. And to me, that's kind of important, to show the board that I've changed my ways and have become responsible.
And then how long have you been out in Tennessee, sir? When did you go back to Tennessee?
I came to Tennessee last year on May 10th.
You have relatives down there? I kind of remember you. I can't quite place, but I kind of remember you because of Tennessee. Do you have relatives down there in Tennessee, sir? Or why did you end up going to that small town in Tennessee?
Both my parents live here in the town, and my brother lives just outside the town.
Okay. So, just for my memory purposes, I know you were born out in Arizona, but what were you doing out in Arizona? Your parents relocated back to Tennessee, right? They were out here in Arizona, then they went back to Tennessee. Am I correct, sir?
In the 80s, my parents moved from Arizona to California.
Okay.
My dad's a union electrician.
Okay.
And he went out there for some projects, then they moved to Nevada, where he got hurt on a job site. And when it came time for him to retire, he wanted to get out of the heat, so they moved back to Tennessee. And my brother was down there, and just everybody in the family trying to be in the same area together.
Okay, thank you, sir, and thank you so very much, Honorable Ms. Sardinow.
Other questions from board members? Mr. Neal has a question for you as well.
Yes, sir. Hang on a second. I've got to put on the microphone. I see in the sentencing documents that you're ordered to pay a little over $4,500 in restitution. Have you paid that?
All restitution and fines were paid prior to me being taken off, transferred out here. Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions? So, Mr. McEnally, we're coming toward the end of your hearing. We have no one in the hearing room today to speak either on your support or for the victims. Just kind of summarize for us why we each vote individually, so we all, we've all reviewed the packet and your information, and we're all here listening to what you say. What would you say to us to convince us that we should give you absolute discharge today, sir?
The fact that I have gotten, since my release, I performed very well on house arrest, got myself an education in the HVAC field. Last I knew, I didn't have any disciplinary law on parole at all, no violations. I've taken all the drug classes, remained clean, passed all my UAs, and become active here, not only in my job, but in the neighborhood, helping the people out, and try doing the best job that I possibly can to prove to myself and everyone around me that I'm not the stereotypical convict that comes out of bad prison. I wake up every morning and ask myself, you know, what can I do better than I did yesterday? And that's my total pride. I see prison as it was a waste of my life, the waste of the victim's life. And I don't want to go back to that lifestyle, and I just want to make myself a better person and productive around the community that I'm in. It kind of makes me feel good every day to get up and go to work like a normal man and do my job, and makes me feel real good with the contractors around me and the people in town that have accepted me for my mistakes and have been offered to help me in any way necessary, and it just makes me feel good about myself.
Well, it should. I like your life philosophy of waking up every day and trying to figure out how you can be better. Your parole officer there sent us a report, and I'll just read it onto the record. It says, offender reports as instructed and on time. Offender has a positive attitude. No contact with law enforcement and arrest check is negative. Drug screen is negative and fees are up to date. Offender works a wholesale supply group according to pay stubs, which you've just told us is true. Offender is compliant with supervision conditions and no issues or concerns at this time. So your parole officer would agree that you're doing a good job. And I thank you for that. I do want to make note just for the record so that we have a letter from the Maricopa County Attorney's Office dated April 11th, 2019. And in that letter, the Maricopa County Attorney's Office is objecting to any sort of absolute discharge for you at this point. But you know, that's their position, and you know they're entitled to have a position in this. So Mr. McAnally, I don't know if you have anything else you want to add, but the board will go into discussion, and I'll give you a chance in just a moment to add anything else you want to add. The board will go into discussion and come up with a decision for you today. And we'll just ask you to remain on the phone and remain silent while we do that. But was there anything else you wanted to say before we go into discussion, sir?
Yeah, I'd just like to thank the board for the original opportunity of letting me have home arrest so that I could prove to the board, myself, and my family, and the victim's family that I've changed, and I appreciate the opportunity. And hope that I've done everything in the board's eyes to show myself as a productive citizen.
Okay, sir. Thank you very much for that statement. It's we kind of enjoy these hearings because we don't get to do this type very often. So you know it's nice to see when people can be success. So thank you, sir. The board's going to go into discussion then, Mr. McAnally, and we'll just ask you to remain on the line, and we'll be back with you in just a moment. Okay.
Sir?
Thank you. The board's now in discussion. Mr. McAnally is out and clearly has been doing well. We have good recommendation from his parole officer there, but that's kind of counterbalanced by the Maricopa County Attorney's letter, which does oppose any sort of release. This one's a bit of a challenge because you know Mr. McAnally's not here. He's in Tennessee. He's in a small town. His drug tests have all been clean, so I believe him when he says he hasn't used meth. He seems a very sensible individual. and is looking to promote in his company, which I think is an admirable thing. And it's he said he was even a little surprised when they suggested that he be the manager of the store. My only concern is the recency, is that he was just placed on home arrest in 2017, which I was not on the board at the time. I think Dr. Wright would be the only one here, although maybe, I don't know, were you, Mr. Quinones, were you on the board? It would have been April of 17. You may have been on the board.
Yes, I think I may have just been started.
You were just starting. So, we were not
here. He was on the board.
He was on the board, okay.
Mr. Neal was on the board. You were on the
in
board.
April of 17?
December 17.
Yeah, okay. The original home arrest was in April of 17. I think Mr. Quinones might have just been here. So, there was that. Obviously, that board felt that Mr. McAnally was a good candidate, and clearly he was a good candidate for home arrest because he did well. And not even 8 months later, he was going toward 12A. And in that hearing, I was here because I took that chair in the hearing.
You did, yes, ma'am.
So here it is, just a little over a year later. And that's what concerns me, is I would just like to see a little bit more track record. I mean, I know he's doing well, his pro officer says he's doing well, but I'd like to see just another short, maybe another year or two, or I wouldn't make any promises, but sometime. So, Mr. Quinones, I'll start the discussion.
Thank you. With you. This Rittenhouse, I think it's early in his community's vision cycle or process. And I feel that we know the community is a victim of solid period monitoring before we consider complete discharge from oversight. That's
and you bring up an important point, and that is the victim, who is not represented today by anyone here to speak on behalf of the victim. So those are my thoughts. Mr. Neal?
I go back to several things. One was this was a premeditated murder, and it was over a dispute over drugs. It was totally senseless. She was shot twice early on. The claim was went off accidentally, but it went off accidentally twice. I think he did own up to the, that he shot her twice eventually. But after shooting her, leaving her lying in the desert, he ran over her body with his car and left. So it's really, a heinous crime. And he was sentenced to, 25 to life. He's been in prison or under supervision for 30 years, but the victim was sentenced to infinity. That relation is just not a whole lot of time there. And I just don't think that with the totality, 30 years of supervision is sufficient to grant an absolute discharge. And I do think that we should set it at least for 30 years down the road before another hearing.
Dr. Wright, any thoughts?
I agree with distinguished colleagues. I think that, just a little more time. He needs more time before moving forward.
All right, then I'm going to make a motion, and my motion will be that we, in this case, we grant or we continue him on general parole, and that we deny absolute discharge at this time.
Second.
Agreed.
Okay, seconded by Mr. Quinones, and agreed Mr. Neal and Dr. Wright, and we'll say may reapply in 3 years, that was Mr. Neal's suggestion. And reasons for denial, we'll say serious and violent offense, loss of human life, trauma to the victim, serious bodily injury, And he really had no criminal history, and he's obviously done very well on his parole, and we know he'll continue to, but we'd just like to see that and have that continue. So, Mr. McAnally?
Yes, ma'am.
So the board has voted to not grant absolute discharge to you today, sir. We just need to see some more time. It's a very, very short time that you've been on community supervision for a crime, the crime of murder. And in all of our cases, we just, each of us expressed concern that we want to see more time on community supervision, sir. So I certainly hope you don't take that as a negative. And I know you won't, because you say you have the life philosophy that you have. I think we'll get you right through. But so we indicate here that you can apply again in 3 years, and you'll be able to come before the board again, and we'll do it by telephone again, that's fine. And so we thank you for participating in the hearing today, sir, and I believe without anything else, if any board members remind me anything that we need to conclude, your hearing is over, sir, and again, thank you for participating today.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. McAnally.
Okay, we're going to disconnect. Thanks again, sir.